I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The order of service this morning, which is all written in there, as well as the verses for the hymns, and we have a song leader that also helps hear the hymns along with the recorded organ music. The readings for today are usually assigned for, except for the gospel reading, but the first two readings are usually for a Thanksgiving service, a day of Thanksgiving. And that's what Memorial Weekend is about, to a large extent, is to give thanks to God for the service that we've been given by fellow citizens in the military and in other ways, too. We'll be reflecting on that. So you'll notice there's prayers and thanksgivings and service to others is an emphasis in the readings today. We begin with our opening hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. It is written in the bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship him. Thank you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Before you sit, let's do our tradition of having a prayer of safety and success for our emergency workers. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for the men and women who serve us in times of danger and need. We ask you that those who are making this emergency run would be kept safe, would be successful, and that the people they are helping would be protected. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The congregation may be seated. The first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
You're invited to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 38. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to them, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and in the place where your glory dwells.
The congregation may be seated. Are there any little children that might like to come up? Want to come up? I need you to each get one of those flags. I have a job. You don't have to do it. Leland, you want to do it? Okay. Maybe get one for your sister, too. You can stay in your seat and hold the flag if you want. Okay, Leland, you come up here, though. I know you're brave. You know me, right? Okay. It's good seeing you here today. Thanks for being here. Okay. So what is this you're holding?
A flag.
A flag. Is it just any flag?
It's the American flag.
That's right. The American flag for the United States of America. Right. And not in the basket there, but do you see some other ones like that around here?
Over there.
Yeah. Yeah. You see a couple big ones there at the entrance?
Yeah.
And then where do you see, what are those? They're on some of the, what do you call those? Do you know what those are called?
Graves.
Graves and the tombstone on the grave, right?
Yep.
The stones in the grave. And do you see some of them have flags like that?
Yeah.
And some of them, even like these two, have red flags. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are people who are veterans that serve our U.S. in the military. The red ones are for Marines, and maybe there's some other ones there, too, from other branches.
Oh, firemen.
Army.
Oh, firemen! Same color, sorry. Yeah, firemen, that's right. Okay. Okay, so who gave us those people to help us to fight in the military or to be in the fire department? Who gave those people to us?
God.
That's right. God gave those people to us. That's right. And so now, actually, in Zion Cemetery, we're taking care of their bodies while they're here, right? But Jesus will raise them again. But we're so thankful on days like Memorial Day for people who help us, the fire department, in the military, in so many places. So, do you have a relative here in the grave? Do you have a grandpa here or uncle?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you see it right there.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So we're going to have a brief prayer and thank God for these people who have served us. Okay. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
And giving us.
And giving us.
People who take care of us.
People who take care of us.
Help us.
Help us.
To be thankful.
To be thankful.
And also help others.
And also help others.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can sit down. Thanks for coming up. We sing the sermon hymn.
Oh,
things, really. But to begin, I reread just a few of those verses from Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you'd like to follow along and guess what fill in the blank is, you can see in the back page, there's the usual sermon notes. Somebody was joking around with me, how long are you going to preach today, Pastor? I said, till it rains, but actually it's longer than that because this is first part of a two-part sermon. So actually I'm preaching all week until next week. We'll talk about part two. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the man asked, "Who is my neighbor?" God has two kingdoms, and we often call it the kingdom of the left, and that's this world. The governments, the authorities, the way of life, the communities, the societies of this world. And the kingdom of the gospel, God's eternal kingdom. We'll be talking about the first kingdom today, sometimes called the left-hand kingdom. And one of the main things to remember as Christians is that God has both kingdoms in his hand. He's in charge of everything in this world. And he's in charge of our faith as Christians and the Christian church into eternity. It's God's two kingdoms. Now, everyone here on earth is a member of this left-hand kingdom, the kingdom of this world. You become a member of this world by birth, and we really would say conception. You're a member of this world. And that's the way God designed it. And so when the man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Everyone that you see around you, that are on the other side of the world or wherever, is your neighbor. That is God's design. Now, the man himself was trying to figure out how he was going to get into heaven by obeying God perfectly, loving God perfectly, and then also loving his neighbor as himself. And you see, if Jesus would have answered, "Well, your neighbor is whoever you would like it to be." Well, that's easy enough. I'll just decide who my neighbor is, and I'll be really nice to those people. And that's what we sometimes do as humans. We sometimes decide, "Oh, those people are neighbors, but those people not. So it's good enough for me to be nice and help take care of those people, but those people not." Our neighbor is everybody in this world, and God wants us to serve them all. Our communities and our societies, our languages, our gifts from God. God has made us in a way that we tend to choose leaders, we tend to develop languages, we tend to set up living patterns. How to eat, how to farm, how to barter, how to buy and sell, how to raise our children. And in different places around the world, in different times and cultures, it's done differently, but everybody does it. And God has designed that into us as human beings living in this world. And he does this for a good order and for being a blessing. And Scripture is clear We heard Paul say, you pray for those who are in authority. And God commands us to obey and to pray for whoever is in charge in our community, in our even local organizations, the county level, the state level, the federal level. Even if they're evil, he wants us to pray. Not to obey them to go against God, that's not right. But to obey them as far as possible, which is very, very far. You know what we humans do, even what we Christians do. Well, I don't like that guy or that gal who's ruling over me, so I won't obey that. When obeying that particular law or policy has nothing against Christianity. It just is. And so you don't get to choose which ones to obey or not obey. As long as it doesn't disobey God, God says honor them, follow them, as far as possible, as far as a Christian can. And especially if we don't like a certain local government person, or state government, or national government person, don't we think they need prayer? If they're headed down the wrong way, they need our prayers. So it's not that God says, oh, you don't think that guy is pretty good or that gal is pretty good, you don't have to obey. No, God says pray. He's given us these things for our blessings. And of Christians, then all people, all neighbors, need our service and our love. However we can do it. As Christians, we need to live like that. And also witness of the gospel. So that many, many neighbors, we pray all neighbors, be God's eternal kingdom. And would be brothers and sisters in Christ. But that eternal kingdom, that's next week's sermon. So come back next week. And we won't be here next week. We'll be in the church. But thinking a little bit more about this left-hand kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. One place where we often go wrong as humans, and you've heard me say it, members have heard me say it, I've said it in Bible class, as humans, especially if they're not Christians, they don't know, but even Christians sometimes, we're all accountable to God. It's His kingdom. It blows my mind sometimes. You get something through the Freedom of Information Act and then it's all redacted. It doesn't matter. You can't see what was on the document anyway. Well, that's how we humans tend to do it. But as Christians, we know you could not redact anything from God. He knows what is going on all the time. He knows our hearts and our minds. So how we treat our neighbors, how we think of our neighbors, God knows that. We Christians do, then we see, boy, I need to repent. I need to be sorry for my sins. I really haven't thought well of my neighbor sometimes. I haven't taken care of my neighbor sometimes. But God knows. And then, as Christians then we lead and serve, knowing that God is seeing everything. He knows everything. He's given us our neighbors to take care of them. Taking care of each other is a beautiful thing, and it's an honorable thing. And that's partly why we have Memorial Weekend, is to honor how these folks have taken care of their neighbors by serving. And us who are living on this earth, yet it is honorable to do this for our neighbor, to help out in different ways. And it is God's will. And so we thank and serve those people. We pray to God for them. And we find ways to thank God for them too. We're going to do that in our prayers. We thank God for people's service to us, citizens and a community and a nation in different ways. Now it was said in the hymn that we just sang, I think it was verse 3. wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all for us. If we think anything of Jesus Christ himself and honor him and like to know more about him and all these things, if he was in trouble, wouldn't we want to help him? If he had a robber or a thief attacking his house, wouldn't we want to be a policeman to help him? If Jesus had his barn burning down, wouldn't it be an honor to be in the fire department and to help put out that fire? If he couldn't take care of his grass very well anymore and he really needed it cut, needed somebody to help out, wouldn't it be an honor to cut the grass for Jesus Christ? If the place where he was living, that nation, was in trouble, wouldn't it be an honor to be in the military to protect the land where he's living? Jesus said, you do it to the least of one of these, you do it. This is so critically important for us to remember that our neighbor is not just, oh, they may be a different type of person, they may speak a different language and look differently and speak and dress differently, may be quite different from place to place, from city to city, or from town to town. The traditions may not be different. I'm almost gone, just 2 weeks, so I'll tell you a little secret here. So, when we came to Ridgeville Corners 6 years ago, when we started getting to know you all in the community, it seemed like quite a comfortable fit. It was very interesting to me. It was almost a little bit mysterious, and so it was pretty easy for us to accept the call to be here full time when you extended that. But I wondered about that in my mind and heart. And I read this one book called The Seven Nations of the U.S., I think it was called. Yeah, it's an anthropological study of the migration patterns, where people migrate to the U.S. It is a very, especially the first half of the book, is very interesting, the historical part. I said, Deb, the people who live here in this area in Ohio, in this area, in northeastern Indiana, this area here, northwestern Ohio, northeastern Indiana. The book said there is those settlers were similar to the same group of those who settled in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I grew up. And I always I thought, oh. And it's funny because that book points out, however true or not it is that when you go and settle in a place, that place changes. I said, that's why, it's kind of just like that. And so the way people interact with one another here and stuff, I felt comfortable with right away, and it is a lot. Like, if you met my brothers, you know, say, you think they grew up here. Whereas, South Dakota, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, boy, had a tough time. They're very nice congregation. But the culture and how people interacted with one another, I told one of the pastors there, I said, sometimes I think I know Ghana in Africa better than I can figure out Parkston. Well, those immigrants were from Russia. Very different way of approaching life, thinking about things. So God gives us ways of living with one another, ways of interacting with each other, ways of growing up, ways of raising our children that are honorable and good. And they can be different from one another. But this is his left-hand kingdom, and he's made us to be a variety of people. He asks us to obey his laws, to live as his people, but there's a lot of different ways people do that. As Christians, we also know that God supplies our daily needs. things. I looked at this very, thank you guys for so keeping everything so nicely mowed. I looked at this lawn today as we were setting up for the service this morning. I said, what a gift of God that Zion can have this property. That's a gift of God. And that we can use it. And it's so beautiful, and he's given us a wonderful day for this worship out here. And we know that this is so many ways that God blesses us, that takes care of us. That's our confession. He is in charge. He takes care of us. And because of that, we trust in God. We can be generous to others. Because I have a home in heaven. I can give everything away, and I'll still go to my home in heaven. I can be generous. That is a beautiful thing that we remember about our neighbor. I don't have to be stingy with my neighbor. I don't have to worry that God's not watching over her. He's watching over me. And the last point. You all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. Expect there's choir members here and other members too. But there's a lot of sin in this world and sinners, including you and me. As sinners. And so there's always difficulties in the church. There's difficulties in our communities. There's difficulties in our states and nation and between nations. That is the way it is at this time. But God doesn't say, oh, it's sinful. You don't have to love anybody. You don't have to take care of anybody. Don't worry. As if you and I aren't sinners ourselves. And you and I aren't quirky and strange ourselves. We are. But God says, yes, they're sinners, and so are you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of them. Also, when we see the sin and the needs in the world today, there's so much. You know, I assume you know, I throw out half the things that come to church to give to, I throw out half those mailings. You can't give to them all. You can't give to them all. We give to a lot of things, local and international, but we can only do so much. And if anybody else, now that I'm gone, if anybody wants to see what's being thrown out, you go ahead and collect the mail. You can decide. But you can't do it all. But God places people and situations in our circumstances to which we can be generous and to which we can do something. And churches band together to do larger projects, or families band together to do larger projects. And that's good too. We know the evil is great, the need is great. And we wish we could do more and more and more and more. Yeah, if I had Bill Gates' money, yes, I would know what to do with it. I have a lot of places I know can go and do a lot of good. But I don't have Bill Gates' money. But I have the gospel. I have God. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. And he shows us what to do. So Memorial Day is, for me at least, is remembering how God has given us one another to take care of one another, and how some of us have served in special ways that we honor and remember and rejoice and thank God for. Thank God for. The interesting thing, and one of you brought it up when we were setting up before church, Pastor, I like this. This is a nice comment. How are we going to do the counting of attendance today in church? And I didn't catch on right away, but I caught up pretty fast. He goes, are we just going to count here, or are we going to count here? And that is absolutely true. It's having a cemetery with a church has its challenges, but it's also a blessing because these are our members. I said, I think they're all members, in fact. Boy. We'll have to build a bigger church. But these folks here, we're taking care of them and their bodies until Jesus comes again. But they have been gifts of God to us, and we remember them. so also we in our little ways and big ways, we do this in our own lives. So we give thanks to God for these folks who we're taking care of for this time being, and for one another, and for all in our community who will also help us. And we pray for them, and we love them. And even though there's much evil in the world, don't lose heart. God is in control. Jesus says, love your neighbor. And so we love them. And Jesus takes care of us. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all those who have served us. Help us to also serve one another and those far and near. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. May the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the offering hymn, which is a part of our prayers, God Bless Our Native Land. The offering can be brought forwards in the second verse.
You're welcome to stand.
To the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the protection and guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we may not grow weary or lose sight of the goal before us, and that the Spirit would work in us to display the good works of Him who has called us from darkness into His marvelous light, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents and children, that they would be given the courage to love as God has loved us, and be united in their common life by the Holy Spirit to know Jesus and serve Him, and that the Lord would bless the single with chastity, protect the orphan, and defend the helpless. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, our governor, and all elected and appointed officials, that in their stewardship of the nation and state, they may be faithful and serve honorably for our benefit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a long memory, to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security.
Debbie, will.
To our country's peace and security, and serve faithfully unto death in the protection of our freedom and in the defense of our land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Dave, Randy, Chelsea, Norma, Todd, Zachary, Sandy, Pat, Justin, and the family of Joe Regner, and all who suffer in our midst, that the Lord of hosts would uphold them in the truth that since He is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken, and that He would gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor sinners confess that in our flesh no good thing. If we are left to ourselves, we will die in sin, since that we are born of flesh is flesh and cannot see the kingdom of God. Grant us, we implore you, your grace and mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to regenerate us, that we may firmly believe the forgiveness of sins, according to your promise in baptism, and daily increase in Christian love and good works, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We speak together the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Prayer, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit, whichever is best for you, for our closing hymn. Notice that this hymn was written by, the words were written by Francis Scott Key, who of course wrote the National Anthem.